Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive to and from work as a high school instructional coach just outside of Washington, D.C. And today my episode is really being recorded in the car because I am driving back to my physical classroom, driving back to my physical school. We here in Northern Virginia have been in quarantine since March, or lockdown or some modified version of pandemic shutdown for the last 6-7 months. But our school in Northern Virginia, because we are a Catholic school, is not closed. We will be open on a hybrid model, so even though students will not be in every single day, the teachers are expected, unless we have pre-existing health conditions, to make ourselves available to teach. And I have a lot of thoughts about that. And so today's podcast will be about making lemonade out of, you know what, chicken salad out of lemons. That's the flip of it, so I think you got it. We'll get to that in a second, but first things first, if you like what you're hearing, you want to subscribe. I do episodes every Monday, and I push them out up on your favorite podcasting app. Feel free to leave a comment. It helps other people find the podcast. If you want to talk to me in the car, message me. I don't pretend to be an expert. I just pretend to be a guy who loves this stuff. Even though I'm a working teacher, I don't pretend to be the only working teacher, so this is just one guy's opinion. Let's talk about it. I'm on Twitter, @MeHanEDU. And I would love to pick your brain, your bounce ideas off you. We get stronger together. Even in these times of uncertainty, we all do learn from one another's uncertainty. And it's okay to not be okay. So let's talk about that. And if you wanted to have more information or more resources, I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. And I wrote a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush. It's all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. I share all sorts of resources up on my website. We're even doing an online book study if you're into that sort of thing and you want to join the fun. We're doing it on Voxer. So just head it up. The drop-down menu is on the book drop-down tab there on Adrenaline Rush. And we can change the game even on the intranet, you know, not in person. So let's talk about changing the game, because whether we're making lemonade out of lemons or chicken salad out of, this is a year where we have to take whatever we were doing in our classrooms and, as Missy Elliott once would say, put your thing down, flip it, and reverse it. Everything we were doing before, you know, all of those things we said, this meeting could have been an email. Well, good news. Now every meeting is an email. You're like, oh, no more dumb after-school PDs. Well, good news. We don't have those either. But also, hey, what about seeing the kids? What about getting to know my students? What about after-school clubs and activities and the things that make life worth doing? That removal from that work-a-day world that Joseph Pieper termed for us. And that gives us a chance for leisure. Like the very word that we get the word school from, you know, scola, right? You know, from Latin or from the Greek skole. It literally means the place of leisure, the place of fun, the place we got to do the things that we didn't have to do. We were doing our labor. You had your labor work, and then you had your scholar work. And your scholastics were designed to be the things that we got to do and we enjoyed and we pursued for simple passion. No one forced you to do it. No one paid you to do it. You just did it because you loved it. And somewhere along the way, we sort of lost sight of that as our schools. But as we have to recapture that purpose in this distance learning model, or this hybrid learning model, or this socially distanced learning model, maybe now's the time we talk about how we can become more purposeful, more intentional in our classroom instruction. As far as my own school goes, we do synchronized instruction every Monday, but it is entirely virtual, so everyone in the building will dial into a 25-minute class of each of their 7 classes in a row. That's what Monday looks like. And then half of the students come back alphabetically on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the other half comes back on Wednesdays and Fridays. So when it comes to in-person instruction, the average student will receive exactly 80, maybe 85 minutes of time with any one of their classroom instructors. So they'll see half of their classes, let's say, on Tuesday, and the other half on Thursday. Or, because of the alphabetical happenstance, they'll see half of their classes on Wednesday and the other half on Friday. And then the idea is that they'll spend that time when they're not in school doing some asynchronous, you know, skill-building enrichment. Let's call it Fortnite, because it's going to be Fortnite. Time where they're supposed to be teaching themselves or using what you've inspired them to learn outside of class. That does create a series of problems, too, because if I give you a synchronized series of messages on Monday, that's great. Ready and break. Some students will be right at it overnight and then come in and see me tomorrow. Other students won't see me until Friday, and they've had 3 or 4 days to work on it. The amount of work I can expect a child to get done in one night versus the amount of work I can expect a child to get night done in 3 nights is not insignificant, the difference between them. Likewise, if I see the A group, let's say on Tuesday, And then the B group, I don't see till Friday. I also have work to give them afterwards. Like, hey guys, so that was what you read for class. Now here's what I need you to do by Monday of the next week. And then the A group now has like 6 or 7 days to get ready on that. Whereas the B group only has like 2 or 3. So it does come out in the wash, but it doesn't, because simple direct instruction is the thing sometimes that helps students like get that accordion where they all come back together and say, wait, what was I working on? Oh, thank God, that clarifies it. Because practice makes perfect, but only if you're practicing perfectly. If you're practicing a technique improperly, let's say you're out of the baseball batting cages, and you're just really bad at your swing, you could practice for 2 hours, 2 days, or 2 weeks. If your form is bad, you're not going to have the skill. And unfortunately, some of those kids will be spending 2 to 3 days or 4 days, quote, skill building, practicing. But they might be practicing it wrong. It's only when you see them practice their swing, let's say on that Friday in class, that you're able to say, no, choke up on that bat. You can box your knuckles here. Go ahead and lift that back shoulder. Like, that will help them see how they need to improve. But that's hard because that gap in between, all that, quote, skill building, actually was building bad muscle memory. And that's not what we want to do in our classes. So it creates a challenge. And I know many of us are doing a hybrid model or a flipped model or a socially distanced model or a modified and full-on digital teaching this year. I think that for us, it will be a challenge not only to get students to like practice their skills for the game, because that we aren't going to see our students, you know, if we see them at all, like, you know, 50% of the time we would have otherwise seen them or less. That's already not good. But on top of that, you also want to get them engaged. Like, and I hope you can hear my voice reaching through the digital screen. I think we talked about in last week's podcast, where just because you're in a digital environment doesn't mean you have to be a one-dimensional person, right? How do we get our students fired up and excited to want to even come to our classrooms, to get in the game? Yeah, their practice is going to be sloppy, or their play is going to be poor, or their performance won't be so great because their skills aren't yet up to snuff. But if they don't even want to put their cleats on, then they're not going to get on the field. That's a problem for everybody. So we have to work together to figure out creative ways to do that. And I don't pretend I have all those answers, like I said. As an instructional coach, I do a lot of listening, I do a lot of reading, I do a ton of research. But what I'm finding is we need to make school feel more like school and less like work. That's not to say you can't work in school. Quite on the contrary. There's so much great work to be done in a school. But remember what a school's purpose was designed to do. I have a good friend. I have a good friend. His name is Michael Matera. He wrote an awesome book called Explore Like a Pirate. It's all about gamification in the classroom. It's fantastic. He's a smart, smart guy, and he really understands like a master class in how to bring next level gaming into your classes. I can't say enough good things about Michael. But he and I were having a conversation one time, and he said, you know, I think that in life, your passion is the thing you do for yourself, but your purpose is designed for others, is the thing you do for others. And I was like, whoa, that's so cool. Right? I'm passionate about X, Y, and Z. I'm passionate about things 1, 2, and 3. I'm passionate about causes the first, the second, the third. But I'll be honest, I think what my purpose here on this planet is, you know, I'm in a Catholic school, so I can use some Catholic language. We talk about vocations, right? You know, for the Latin word vocare, and it literally means to be called. I truly believe that my purpose or my vocation is to change the world. Not just to change the game, but to change the world. And every time I see my principal, he goes, how you doing? I'm like, changing the world, man. Like, I'm literally making kids excited about school. And that's really hard. Because if they're excited about school, it's not, wow, Mr. Meehan really made English class fun. Quite on the contrary, it's Mr. Meehan helped me see how much fun there is in the study of English. Because long after I'm gone, they have to continue that journey. They have to find that passion in themselves. And through my shared passion, which I can radiate, I hope, perhaps they can come to an understanding of their own purpose. And their purpose usually is focused on others, whether that's to cure cancer, or whether that's to fight injustice, or whether that's to speak out against oppression, or whether that's to be an educator, or to be a parent, to be a brother or sister, a husband, a wife. There's so much about this world that are designed for connection, and we cannot let a digital divide be the thing that stops that. So as you start a new classroom of yours, and again, I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I hope that this sort of, you know, meditation or the thinking can help us unlock maybe the next round of questions. What are we doing to help our students feel like there is passion to the work that we are doing as an educator, but there is a purpose to what the class will bring them long after you need to learn algebra because reasons, or you have to know the main character's name on page 16? I'll be honest, they don't. They straight don't, guys. I think that I'm a pretty well-educated adult. I have a master's degree, and I've written a book and changed, but I don't think I read the same books that you read. And you know what? I think that's okay. I don't think you read the same books as I read, and that doesn't mean that you're a bad person. You know, if you don't like the same sports team that I do, we'll probably have a fight about that. Like, I'm sorry you don't like the Patriots. I will pray for you. But if we didn't read the same books, so what? And what you do in your free time, let's say that you are your passions. That should be recognized. That should be celebrated. That should be embraced. In the great book, The Alchemist, Paulo Coelho talks about this idea of ones who's in pursuit of what he calls, I think, their personal destiny or their personal legacy. He says that, we'll use the word passion for our purposes here today. He says that someone who is in pursuit of their personal destiny recognizes when someone else is likewise in pursuit of their personal destiny. Your soul just kind of knows it as it sees that person. And it's that soul's recognition of that same shared spirit in another that really lights us on fire. You can just see somebody like, oh, that person. They're living the dream. They're chasing it. You know, like they're getting up, they're hustling. Whatever that thing is, I want that thing. And the examples I use is like when I look at Dwayne The Rock Johnson, everything he does brings that charisma and that intentionality and that passion, right? Even if it is, he's an actor, he's a performer, he's a professional wrestler. Like, some of those things are goofy and silly and they shouldn't be taken seriously. But it's clear that he doesn't take himself seriously at all. But he does take the work that he's doing incredibly seriously. He puts his whole thought into that, his whole self into that. And that passion then radiates purpose. So, like, for me as an educator, I want my students to feel and to see and to hear that energy, that enthusiasm, that excitement in my voice. I said before the pandemic, and I've sort of downplayed it a little bit over the past couple of months because I don't want to be, you know, tacky or exploitative, but I truly do believe that our enthusiasm could be infectious. That energy is catching. You know, there's a contagion that comes from you are just so fired up, man. And for me, I found it to be really successful. That may not work for you. But in my classroom, I know that that's the thing that I can use to dial up my own passion. And when they see that my passion is at a 10, 11 as well, I'm like, guys, you got to see this. It's going to knock your socks off. They can't help but raise an eyebrow. When they raise that eyebrow, then I can start to have students leaning in and seeing the things that I find so fascinating, so cool, so worth discussion. And then when they start to feel like, hey, they're seeing a little bit of it too, you start to see signs of progress, you start to feel smart. Whether that's in an English class, math, or science, history, world languages, something about what we're doing should be catching a fire, lighting a spark. It's not filling a bucket, in the line of words of William Butler Yeats, the Irish poet. It's the lighting of a spark, right? We should light that spark in our kids, and that passion can help them see their own passion, which in turn can help them discover their purpose. And that, my friends, is the win-win, whether we're doing it in person or online. So maybe more questions and answers this week, but I hope this week's podcast does give you a little sense of you don't have to tap out, you don't have to give up just because we've shifted this online space. Let's stay after it. Let's stay hungry. Let's keep those passions high and do what we need to do that we spent this summer trying to figure out, hey, this is not ideal. I do not want to do this. I do not feel safe with some of these things. I have questions. I have concerns. But I also remember what I did in the first place, which is I love X, whatever X was, right? And that's what brought you to teaching. And guess what? You still get to talk about X just in a different way. If you really care about it, if you're really fired up about it, how can you share that enthusiasm with your students? How can you share that passion, that curiosity, that hunger, that desire, that sense for justice or research or analytical thinking where they see, oh, that person has that personal destiny. I'm on fire for that. I want some of that fire. I think that's a really good thing, whatever our courses, our content areas may be. We've been told for years and years that this dumb staff meeting could have been an email. Well, now it's an email. We got our wish, right? We rubbed that lamp and we got the monkey's paw and we got what we wanted just in the way we didn't think we could get it. Let's lean in for our students and show them this could have been done differently for a really long time. Now, let's do it. I don't know what it's going to look like, by the way. I also don't want to go back to school. And that's not because, like, oh, it's the end of the summer. Like, no, it's not safe. We should not be in school, period, full stop. But here we are, and I are going to change the game even if they have me doing a kicking and screaming because the students didn't make me come back to school. That's a big boy. That's an adult. That's a grown-up. It's a politic decision that has nothing to do with those students. They deserve my best every single day. And my good friend Adam Welcome, and I'll close with this, says in his introduction to my book, actually, it was really good as he said it. He says, as teachers, we are allowed to have good days, and we're allowed to have great days. If we're having a bad day, we leave that in the car because our kids deserve it. And when we bring our best self, whatever that is, that's not to say that there aren't certain emotions aren't valid, right? It's not to say like you're not allowed to feel fear or anxiety or trepidation or concern or hesitation or maybe some doubt. You're allowed to feel all those things. without any judgment. That's Brené Brown, right? You're allowed to feel all these things. And maybe you can feel all of them at once, but your students deserve the best you that you can deliver, whatever that looks like. Show up for your kids, show up for your class, share that passion, and help them find their purpose. God bless you. Stay safe. Stay home if you can. Wear a mask if you can't. And let's change the game together. Hit me up on Twitter, and I'll see you next week with more. Thanks again.